In the Madison Police Department podcast, we promote safety by providing information on current crime trends in the capital city. In addition, we give listeners a behind-the-badge look at community-based, problem-solving policing done the Madison way. You will hear from passionate MPD subject matter experts, people we like to call guardians. These men and women are dedicated to keeping Madison a great place to live, learn, and play.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Public Information Officer Joel Despain, and we're happy to have you as a podcast listener. We're going to turn the tables a bit today, as I'm going to be relinquishing the microphone in the not-too-distant future. After more than 13 years here with the Madison Police Department, I've decided to see what retirement looks like. Joining me is Acting Chief Vic Wall, and the chief is going to get a chance to ask me a few questions.
We're going to flip the script today, Joel.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll do my best, and certainly I had to do that when I first started this job. You know, I came from working in television as a broadcaster and a reporter for 25 years asking the questions, and when I came here, and pretty soon I was the one who was facing the cameras and the microphones, and it was an interesting adjustment.
Indeed. So let's start with that and talk a little bit about what your sort of pre-MPD journalism career looked like, and for those who weren't around then, yeah, remind us of what that.
Yeah, there's how most was. Most of those people are probably in their 80s and 90s now. I'm just kidding. So, no, I basically grew up here in Madison, and there was a time when I was in middle school at Cherokee Middle School, and I was kind of a nerd. And during the Watergate hearings, they were playing those live in our cafeteria. So I would stay in from some recesses and lunches and watch that, and I just thought journalism seemed to be a really good career. And so I kind of followed that through my time at West High School. I worked for the Regent Review, and then I went to UW-Madison, and I worked for WHA, the Morning Edition program. I worked for Wisdom Radio, which some people who've been around well might remember. They had the likes of Clyde Kickapoo Coffee and a couple of others who were pretty well legend now in radio news. But so I did a lot of different things, worked for the Badger Herald and in college, and at one point was selected by the journalism school as one of the three people to try out for an internship at Channel 3, and was selected for that, and got that internship. And it was a very unique internship at the time in that they put you on air as a reporter. You were functioning as an actual reporter, not just an intern. So that was a very helpful step in the journey. And then they put me down in Rock County as the first Rock County reporter. At that time, Rock County belonged to the Rockford TV market. Every city belongs to a market. And so the Channel 3 thought was to try to lure the people of Rock County, Janesville, Beloit, to watch Madison's market instead, and then they can drop their size of their market down, and the lower the market, the more money you can make in commercials, I think was the thought. So, but that's where I started, was down in Rock County in 1982, and had a really nice career for 25 years until Noble Ray, the chief at the time, offered me the job to come over here and be the first civilian PIO with the police department.
And that's a good point. As you'll remember, and others may not, before you came to MPD, we always had a public information officer position, but it was held by a police officer. And we would do a process and choose someone internally as a police officer, and they would sort of rotate through every 3 or 4 years. And then ultimately, I think Chief Ray made the good decision to pursue having a civilian in that spot. And so what really drew you to it when you first saw that come available?
So when I was down in Rock County with Channel 3, I was the office was out at the airport there. It was a very small kind of office in the basement. And the only other people around were at the end of the hallway, and there were 4 or 5 folks down there. And I thought they were the people that probably cleaned the runway. So I thought, I'll try to get to know them. You know, I'm coming out of the University of Wisconsin. I'm a social person. Here's the only other people I can find. And they wouldn't talk to me. And eventually I found out that was the Rock County Metro Narcotics Unit that was housed down in the airport. And I got to know them over time, and they began to trust me. And they would take me out on some of their buy bus and some of these other activities and allow me to shoot some of this with video. And this is before the Cops TV shows and all that. So we had some, like, real kind of action stuff that I think my bosses up in Channel 3 appreciated. But from there, I sort of, was brought back to Madison eventually, and I became the beat reporter here at the City County Building, which we're still here today. And at that time, as you probably will remember, Chief, is there were just about all governmental agencies, city and county, that's why they called the City County Building, were here. So when you ran a beat here, and a lot of reporters don't have the opportunity to run beats anymore, but I got to know a lot of people, including some Madison police detectives. They'd all hang out at the coffee shop, and so you'd hang out there and kind of work them for information. And, again, it's all about relationships and trust. And from there, one of those detectives, who I'm still in touch with once in a while, said, they're going to civilianize that position. You should think about it. And I love being a broadcaster. I love journalism. But at the time, I had young children, and I thought, this might be an opportunity to spend a little more time with them because they were going to switch me to the 10 o'clock news. And so I would basically not have seen them, at all. And so when I came over here, it was kind of a leap of faith, and really have enjoyed the position and have kind of turned it into something a little more than what I thought it might be, in that there have been some opportunities for some creativity in the office and some writing that is, I think, help people better understand our officers and some of the goofy things they end up being exposed to. But most of it has been, trying to bring people information so that they can stay safe, let them know the important things that are going on in the community. And just like as in journalism, I think trying to be truthful and fair with people, understand people are coming to you sometimes in crisis. And I may be the only person they ever talked to at the police department, so I try to be, treating people with the kind of respect and dignity that's really in our mission statement as a police department. And frankly, I don't know if I would have done this job at another police department. My first exposure to policing in Madison was, I was probably a grade school kid down at Randall School during the Vietnam War, and we were protesting against the police. We were kind of following the college kids and what they were doing up the street. And as time went on and I became a young reporter, I got to know David Cooper, and I don't know, you were brought under Cooper, maybe.
I was, yeah. Yes.
And you might remember, he'd walk into his office, and he might have had on, some flip-flops or whatever he had on his feet, and he had a picture of Gandhi and Martin Luther King behind his desk, and he just kind of gave me a sense as that there can be a different type of policing. And so that really attracted me to this department. And I think, we've obviously changed and evolved, but I think going back to what Cooper tried to transition this department into, back from those days in the early 70s of mostly white men in riot uniforms without their names on their uniforms to what we are now. And again, we're all constantly evolving, trying to be better. But I think that, the Madison Police Department is positioned to be a good one, even though there are a lot of growing pains and some things that I know some in the community aren't happy with. But that's really why I decided I'd try this job. And it's been quite a journey, particularly this last year has been difficult for all of us, but just some fantastic, great people. And one of the other parts of my job, as you know, has been overseeing the intern program. So every spring I've gotten probably anywhere from 30 to 50 college students that I interview for maybe 15 to 20 positions that we'll have at the department in the summer. And getting to know these young people and see the passion they have, many of them, not just for policing, but for this particular police department because of who we try to be, has really been uplifting. And as I walk down the hallway here at the Central District, all the photos of all of our employees are on the wall, and I see a lot of those are former interns, and it makes me feel like I've had some, role in putting some really good people out on the streets who are, trying to really steward this community.
It's funny, when I go in your office, you have sort of that old camera from Channel 3, which I'm assuming you took with permission. If not,
it was given to me at my retirement.
I don't want to hear about it. That's fine. But it's huge. And and when I think of sort of that and contrasted now with everything on Zoom and with iPhones, things have evolved quite a bit. So how has your job as PIO changed since you started under Chief Ray to, your day-to-day duties now?
Yeah, I mean, everything is light years when I think back when I started in journalism with a manual typewriter and the old Associated Press and UPI, you know, paper coming in. When they talked about rip and read, you had all this paper piled up on the floor when you'd come into the newsroom in the morning that you'd have to find those stories and put them up on pegs, being the national news, the local news, and sports and weather. But when I came here, there was really no social media going on. There were still reporters running a beat. You know, back in the day, there was a time where you went in and checked in with the, I think they used to call it the expediter, and they'd just put a bunch of police reports on the desk, and you'd go through them and figure out what you wanted to write, you know. And now things have changed where you can't just put police reports out like that. And, you know, the media has become constrained in terms of the number of people they have, so they really don't have the folks to work a beat like they used to. Some do. You know, Ed Trelevin's still over at the courthouse for the State Journal and got people up at the Capitol, but not really anybody coming in and asking the PIO questions. Now it's really become incumbent on our office at the, here to put out information and really functioning as sort of a mini newsroom. Starting, you know, when Chief Ray was here, we were still doing a newsletter, too, internal communications as well as external communications. But, you know, that became, you know, sort of archaic, and that by the time you got that thing out, the stuff that's in it was a week or two old. And so the advent of social media, Twitter, Instagram, you know, it's changed everything in terms of how you have to do this job, not only in putting out information, but if somebody out in the media gets, and I give them a lot of latitude, and if they say small things that I don't think are correct, I let it go. But if there's something significant that somebody has put out that's really got it backwards in terms of what happened in a police incident, you got to get on that right away, because it spreads like wildfire now. You know, back in the old day, somebody might have held a story till 6 o'clock to break it on the 6 o'clock news. Now, as soon as it goes out on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, people are pushing their information out quickly in the beginning. If you're not on top of that, you know, fast, everybody's reporting that same information, and it may not be correct. So it's added a lot of dynamics to the office. You know, we're certainly trying to, you know, whoever comes in here is probably going to change more, you know, in the coming years as well. So it's the way things are evolving in terms of communication. And you know, my mother still likes getting the newspaper at home. If it's not in the newspaper, it didn't happen to her. And what I've realized is there's a lot of different pools where people kind of fish for information, and you've got to put that information in all those pools, because you don't know where people are going to be getting that information. And also, once something happens, I try to be very proactive if it's a high-level case, so that we're getting information out fast. You know, particularly it's been very helpful to have Twitter in terms of warning people to stay out of an area, or, you know, to be on the lookout for different folks. And so it's a fast-paced, and I think it's, you know, like the rest of policing, you can have lulls, but then it can pick up and it can come. You know, for instance, when you have a case that particularly picks up either regional or national interest, you know, you can be fielding 50 calls an hour in that office.
You know, it's having been in my position now for a year, I certainly have increased appreciation for how critical your role is, not only to our day-to-day effectiveness and function, but also, of course, to big incidents, major incidents. And in our time here, in your time here, there's been quite a few of those. Any memories that stand out to you as something that's really sort of a highlight? Or sometimes these, I guess, are very, you know, sad stories, so a highlight is maybe not the right word, but anything that jumps out to you?
Well, I think, you know, any of these, particularly these stranger homicides we've had, you know, not only did some of them become national news, but, you know, what's been probably the most challenging for me is when you get to know some of the victims' families. Say, for instance, Kelly Nolan, who disappeared from the State Street area and was found deceased a couple of weeks later. That happened right around the time I was coming in here. And I've always wanted to see that case solved before I leave, and it hasn't been. So those kind of things, you know, the Zimmerman case, Brittany Zimmerman, getting to know her folks over the years, I'm very thankful we've gotten arrest there. Any of these officer-involved shootings are very difficult to deal with, both internally and externally, and hard on so many different people. And so, but I think the, you know, the, if you're looking at the happy moments, it's the little things. There's so many great people at the department, as you know, and it's just the moments you have to share a story. And I've found those at the department who love to travel and adventure, and we share those stories. And you get to know people's families, and, you know, there's just a, it is a, it's a pretty big family atmosphere at the police department. And I really feel like, you know, when I first came in, I didn't know if I would be accepted as a part of that family and that team. And there were some that was, they were a little more reluctant to let me into the kind of the, not the inner circle, but just to trust some media person coming in. And so, but now I really, that's going to be the hardest part of leaving, is this, it's a great group of people. And I just wish them all the best. And I really do hope we get just a great chief to come in and lead these people, because they're really, you know, hoping that that's going to be the case.
And so what's next now? Come January, you'll have free time, travel,
gonna,
adventure?
Well, what? Yeah, I'm kind of looking at these little teardrop trailers that you can pull behind. You know, I've got a little SUV, and I really like to backpack and hike. And there's a few bigger trails out there. The one that I'm really thinking about is called the GR5. Of course, with COVID, we can't do it right now, but it starts in the Netherlands, it goes through the French Alps and ends in the French Riviera, and you're hiking from village to village, so you don't have to carry your tent and all these other things. You're kind of staying in these dormitory-type situations. So that's one I'm thinking about. And, you know, I still love Madison, so I'm not leaving. I'll still be here. And there's some who are already kicking my tires, see if I want to do some part-time work. So I like to write. I like to produce videos. And so you may not, you know, just because I'm leaving here, I'm still going to be around. And whoever takes this job is the PIO next, and we're getting some good people, I think, at least I know of some internally. I'm going to be there as a, you know, a sounding board to them, just as I believe people like, you know, Noble Ray have been there for you when you're looking to try to bounce something off somebody. So I hope to be that person and not just walk away with all that institutional knowledge.
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate everything you've done, not only during your whole time here, Joel, but specifically being selfish over the last year. You know, we talk almost every day and are talking about sort of what are the stories out there, what's the message that we should be focusing on, and it's very important, and having your unique sort of credibility with, you know, professionals out in the media, wisdom, intuition, knowledge of how things work here in the city has just been invaluable, and so yours will be big shoes to fill.
Well, thank you very much, Chief, and I've enjoyed all of it, and certainly I wish the MPD the very, very best, and I'm going to be here for the MPD in the future. I may not be on the payroll. It's just been an honor and a pleasure to serve this city. And I'm Joel Despain. This has been the Madison Police Department Podcast.